Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
.7:15 on a Thursday. That means we chat with Fox Sports Radio's Ben Maller. You can, of course, hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of sports going on right now in the world, Ben. Everything is taking place. We got basketball, we got hockey, we got football, we got, you know, baseball. Everything is going on right now. Is it sensory overload for you?
Yeah, listen, guys, it's good to be on with you. It feels normal. You know, it's been great. You know, I'm working the overnight shift, and I get up and I'm used to, like, daytime baseball, you know, this time of the year, but I got daytime NBA games to check out. So it's at hockey. It's been great. We went from 0 to 100 miles an hour pretty quick. We got, you know, as you said, football's around the corner, golf this weekend. So it's been great, but it's like, I can't watch everything. That's the only problem. Like, I only watch a couple games, but I've been picking and choosing my spots, but it's nice to have options. We had no options, any of us, for 4 months.
Well, it is kind of strange because now, yeah, you have six games a day from the baseball or basketball and hockey, and then a full slate of baseball. There's almost, we shouldn't complain. I know it's almost too much.
No, I'm not complaining. Give me more. Play more. Put more teams out there, Josh. I can't watch them all, of course, but it's nice to like to plan your day. You know, obviously we have an advantage because it's our job, so we kind of have to pick and choose. But it's. It's been neat. You know, I usually watch one NBA game during the afternoon and then maybe one at night, but I'll flip with a couple of baseball games. So I've had a good time kind of observing multiple baseball teams here early in the season because it's only 60 games. So, you know, in the olden days, we could say, you don't have to watch baseball in April or May because it doesn't matter. Now it matters, which makes it more exciting.
Well, you mentioned the olden days, and one of the things that I think could be potentially the olden days in Major League Baseball are nine-inning games. These seven-inning doubleheaders have been spectacular. I watched the Yankees and Phillies yesterday, both ends of that doubleheader, and seeing the games end in the seventh inning, it puts a lot more pressure on you to score early. The games obviously move a lot quicker. Do you think that's something that maybe we could see in the future of making all baseball games seven innings going forward?
You know, I don't think that one's going to stick. And it feels like a high school thing to me or like a traveling thing. You know, it's like it doesn't seem authentic to me watching a seven-inning game. The reason I don't believe it's going to last is because I was told that the regional sports networks, by losing the advertising blocks in the eighth and ninth inning, in some cases, like a Yankee game, you're talking about $800,000 of money that's being left on the table. And you're not going to leave that money on the table. I mean, as attractive as you might think a seven-inning game is, if you're running the regional network for the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or even the Royals, you're going to want that money. So it becomes problematic. But for this year, obviously it's going to go on. But I would be surprised if that one sticks. But I think the runner on second thing is here to stay. I don't think that's going away. The designated hitter in the National League, I think that's here forever. Those two things are not going anywhere.
Who knew pitching changes late in games were so lucrative?
I know, right? You know, and I always thought the argument was the later it gets, Josh, there's less people watching, right? Because people have jobs. They have to get up and listen to you guys going to work in the morning so they can't stay up late. But apparently it doesn't matter whether people are watching or not because they make their money on the advertising. So who knew? I have no idea.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know, with all the sports going on, you still have now the dumb athlete still talking, and that's Derek Carr out in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Oakland, wherever he is located these days, complaining that basically he's the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL, that he gets no respect. We kind of ripped him, obviously, yesterday because we're in Kansas City and we think he's a dope for saying those things. But does Derek Carr have a point? Is he disrespected? Is he better than most people perceive him to be?
No, not at all. I ripped him apart as well on my show. And you know, the thing about that, he was asked a rather benign question that was unrelated. Like he had that saved up. Like he had been stewing for months and reading all these negative stories about him. And he just was he's just waiting to explode. He wasn't even asked about that. And he went on this rant. But no, and Derek Carr is a Charlie checkdown guy, and he, the numbers look better than they are. He completed 70% of his passes. The Raiders are averaged less than 20 points a game. That's the most important stat of a quarterback, is how many points you score. And he puts up a lot of hollow numbers. He's not disrespected. The Raiders don't even think he's that good. That's why they brought in Mariota to challenge him in training camp. And if Tom Brady had wanted to play in Northern California, he would have possibly – or in Vegas, rather, he would have played. The Raiders kicked the tires on Brady. So that's also an option. And then Carr would have been released or he would have been traded.
Another quarterback is talking, not Lombardi, but Lombardi's. First off, what do you think of Ben's comments? And then also his ever-changing beard and physique that he's had this offseason.
Yeah, you know, listen, Josh, Roethlisberger, you know, talking about multiples and all that, I would be shocked if he plays two more years. I feel like this is going to be the last year. Maybe he squeezes out an extra year, but he's been injured. His body type, big, burly quarterback, those guys don't usually last that long. So, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's a wild card team in the AFC because traditionally they've been pretty good. The last couple years, not quite, and so – yeah, if Roethlisberger's back in form, you'd say they have a chance to really, you know, mess things up for some teams in the AFC. But I would be very surprised based on what I've seen. But, you know, this is the time of year to talk trash, right? Everyone's going to win the Super Bowl. Everyone's great. No one sucks. Everything's wonderful. It's all sunshine, rainbows, lollipops, the whole thing.
Well, and then the other NFL news, not just training camp opening, I guess not NFL news, but the XFL. The Rock is part owner now of the XFL. He spent $15 million with his partners on the league. That's a hell of a lot less money than Patrick Mahomes even makes. Is this thing going to be viable? Are they going to do it the right way? Does having The Rock involved give this some credibility now?
Well, the way I look at it, $15 million does not seem like that much for an entire football league. I mean, geez. I feel like you and I, we could get some people together and we can maybe get, you know, knock on wood, get that kind of money. But no, I mean, listen, I'm pulling for the XFL. I like the idea of spring football. It was spotty the first year. The other thing about the XFL, too, is the fact that at some point to be viable, they have to make a deal with the NFL. And if they don't make a deal with the NFL, then it's not going to make it. And the good thing about The Rock, though, as you guys know, I mean, he's such a big name that he can continue that relationship with Fox and ESPN, which is also crucial, right? Because ESPN was ready to bail out on the XFL. But since, you know, Rock's connected to Vince McMahon, I have a feeling Vince is still going to be working behind the scenes to help out because that was his baby and that whole thing. But I give it about a 25% chance. I think I'm being optimistic that it'll actually make it. Because there's a passion for football. If they can somehow get the NFL to allocate a couple of players per team and have those logos on the helmet, then you got to think the XFL, that's the key for them to make it.
Yeah. The Rock could just make a really crappy movie and get his money back, too.
No, I know. Well, he is. Isn't there there's a crappy movie he's already made. He's going to get $22 million for it. And it's not all his money either, right? It's all these other people. I read. Did you guys see the story? This is amazing. He is in business with his ex-wife, and they have like a business partnership, and she's in on this. I mean, I feel like that's unprecedented. How many people get divorced and are still still in a relationship with their ex in a multi-million dollar deal. It's pretty crazy.
Well, probably not many, Ben. I don't think many of us are divorcing our wives and have multi-million dollars lying around where we can go out there and invest it. So anyway, well, golf starts this weekend. Tiger makes a run for Jack. We're all going to be rooting for him to be playing on Sunday. And baseball has babysitters now, so there's a whole heck of a lot of sports to come over the next couple of days here in the United States. The bubbles are working. It's been exciting, my man. So enjoy the golf this weekend and enjoy seeing if baseball players can stay in their rooms.
It's going to be fun. And the snitch line in the NFL. Don't forget that. They have now.
They got the snitch line in the NFL. Thanks so much, Ben.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Ben Miller, Fox Sports Radio. You can, of course, hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Joins us each and every Thursday at 7:15. At least the Rook was good. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We're going to have to figure out ways to put the pressure on the defense and to put the ball in play to where we are highly effective in those situations. And whether it's, you know, there's a few things that we've got to do extremely well. We got to make plays. We got a situation we hit really well. And today, both of those bit us.
Mike Matheny, Royals manager, as the Royals losing streak has hit six. They dropped to 3-10 now on the season. After dropping their first three games of essentially a four-game home-and-home set with the Cubs, heading into the finale tonight. 6-1 the loss last night here on 610 Sports Radio. One run, five hits. Once again, last night for the Royals. Lack of offense. Yu Darvish looked like the early Rangers Yu Darvish last night for quite some time, but maybe the Royals had a hand in that.
He looked like the Yu Darvish that was pitching when I saw him at the Target in Surprise, Arizona years ago when he was first coming up to the big league level, and everybody thought this guy was a can't-miss prospect, and he pitched like it last night. And you know what, though? Is it Yu Darvish or is it just the Royals' bats right now? Because the Royals' bats right now are in a bit of a funk, and we'll talk to Mike Matheny about that coming up at 9 o'clock this morning here on 610 Sports Radio as he joins us for his weekly appearance, and we'll ask him, how can we help, man? Like, is there something we can do as fans to get this to get the bats hot again, because that's what we need to have happen. We're seeing so many really good pitching performances right now, and I think, you know, when you hear a 6-1 loss, you may think to yourself, boy, they got blown out last night, but they really didn't get blown out last night. The stuff that matters most to the future of the ball club, the starting pitching, has been really, really good for this ball club over the, you know, the first 13 games or so of the season, save a couple of bullpen starts here or there, but the guys you really want to see do well are doing fantastically well. The Bubiches, the Singers, the Duffies, guys like that. I mean, and even in the back of the bullpen, who knew Barlow was as dominating as he was, right? I mean, like, this guy has become a kind of a favorite of Mike Matheny. He's got more appearances than anybody. He was dominating last night. We've seen Zuber be dominating. We've seen Josh DeMont, you know, absolutely crush it out there and do some amazing things, you know, coming out of the bullpen like he did a couple of nights ago in Chicago. And so when you start to look at individual pieces of this ball club, there's a lot of good things that stand out, but as a collective whole, they're still 3-10, and they're not getting the hits when they need to get the hits, and they're not scoring enough runs. I mean, you know, they always talk about putting up those crooked numbers in an inning. Man, the Royals are getting like one run, and not just in an inning, one run for the entire game. They've got to find a way to break out of it. And, you know, I think a little bit of that can be, you know, looked at Mike Matheny and say, all right, now it's time to start running, man. Now it's time to start stealing bases. Now it's time to start bunting. Now it's time to start hitting and running and doing some of those things that can kind of spark this offense a little bit and kind of help those guys out to kind of get out of that funk. Because sometimes it just takes that one big inning to get a little bit of confidence. And I think right now, watching these guys at the plate, they are lacking confidence. And to me, the one moment that really sums it up was last night, in, I think it was the sixth inning with Ryan O'Hearn up at bat, and he looked at strike three from Yu Darvish and then swung his bat in disgust as he was walking back to the dugout. But it was a three-pitch strikeout, and I watched that at bat and went, man, he really just kind of looked overmatched and really looked like he was trying to do something that he wasn't capable of doing, and that's hit the five-run home run. So I think a little success on offense, a big inning for these guys, maybe get started by a stolen base and a bloop and, you know, something simple like that. Hopefully, you know, a big inning can get these bats going, because right now they're kind of just stuck in neutral. But the starting pitching, man, they're giving you an outing every single night. that you can be proud of, that you can be excited about, and that you have an opportunity to win with. And last night, Chris Bubich was no exception. I thought he was fantastic last night. A bloop and a ground out lead to a run. You're not supposed to lose a game that way. I thought Bubich was great, man. I give that guy a lot of credit so far for what he's been able to do. You know, couple that with what Brady Singer's been able to do, and the future really looks bright from a pitching standpoint for this ball club. Now, if they could just hit a little bit, things would be better than 3-10.
Yeah, Matheny said it was a shame they couldn't get Bubich more run support.
We've been so excited about how he carried himself. The hits he gave up were, you know, a couple C&I singles and a bloop, and he keeps guys off balance because he's just got so many things he can do. And the ball was jumping out of his hand today. It was effortless. He had a better rhythm. It was a great start, and just a shame we couldn't get him more support right there and give him a win, or at least a great opportunity to walk him out of there spitting the hook.
So Bubich takes the loss despite 2 runs, 6 innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. The most impressive probably is his first inning, which mm-hmm. he went 1-2-3 on 9 pitches. But yet another loss. And Josh Vernier earlier this week, he joins us on Mondays at 9:30. And he had discussed at that point, we weren't yet to the 6-game losing streak. But the big challenge ahead for Mike Matheny is keeping everybody's spirits up.
It's imperative that Mike Matheny maintains, I don't know how he does it, but maintains that atmosphere of winning inside the clubhouse for guys like Brady Singer, guys like Chris Bubich, Adalberto Mondesi, Hunter Dozier, guys that you think will be a part of that next championship team in Kansas City. It's going to be, in my opinion, his most difficult task, and that is making sure that spirits remain high, that clubhouse remains cohesive, and the mindset is on winning.
Because Mike Matheny, as much as anybody, was pretty confident they were going to be able to get out of the chute fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now you're not, right. And you're in some trouble after less than 2 weeks. To you're 7.5 games out already.
Yeah, it's great. It's nuts.
Which is nuts. So now, how do you flip it? Say, hey, stay with it, stay positive. Let's get some small victories where we can. Don't look at the standings. You can't win, you know, 7 before you win 1, and try to just go day by day and keep their spirits up.
Well, because that's why you're the manager, and that's why you get paid the big bucks. I mean, that's kind of the job of the manager. I mean, they always talk about it in baseball. You're not the head coach or the manager. You have to manage the ego and the psyche and the players and the people before you even worry about going out there and dealing with the X's and O's and a bullpen move here or a bullpen move there. But I think, you know, it has to come, you know, with positive reinforcement. I mean, you know, people for years have always wanted the manager, whether it be Ned or now Mike Matheny, or even before Ned, they want you to go in there and flip the spread, you know, and flip the table over. Well, number one, there's no more spread anymore. You can't eat in the locker room because of the COVID. But Plus, they don't want you talking while you're eating.
So there's no way
you
could yell while throwing food.
That's true. That's a fair point,
that's
Josh.
That's a baseball violation.
Yeah, you get rung up for that. But I think, you know, that doesn't work. I don't think that type of attitude works. I don't think Mike Matheny going in there and yelling at these guys and going, "You stink, why aren't you hitting right now?" Like that doesn't work. That doesn't affect you in the right way. I think you have to still go in there with that positive reinforcement. Say, guys, we're not that far away, man. We just need to break open and get that one big inning. And here's what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We're going to, you know, I hate to use this, but this is what I do with the softball girls that I coach as the second assistant. I'm the third base coach. We start every inning, and who's ever leading off that inning, I go up to them before they bat and I say, "I'll see you on third base in a second, because you're going to get a hit. You're going to steal second. You're going to steal third. And before long, you're going to be on third base." And every one of them is like, "Okay." And every one of them goes up there and you know, for the most part, gets a hit, steals second, because it's easy to steal second and third in our league right now because the catchers can't make the throw. But that's what I tell them. I give them that confidence going up to the plate. And I'm not saying Mike Matheny needs to manage his team like we coached, you know, the third and fourth and fifth grade girls in softball out at the J. But having that positive reinforcement and telling these guys, "Hey, man, I got your back. You're going to be fine. You're big league ball players. Just go out there. Stop pressing. Stop
Stop squeezing the bat so tight. Take a deep breath. Take a pitch. Wait for your pitch. Get a good pitch to hit and deliver. You've got to show these guys when they go up to the plate that as the manager and as the boss that you still have their back. Because if you turn on them, then they're just going to check out, and it's not going to be good for anybody. So as much as you don't want to hear about the positive reinforcement and rah, rah, rah type of stuff, I think that's the attitude that you have to take. Because if you're a boss and you have a negative attitude towards all your employees, that's going to rub off on everybody. Yeah. And it's not going to be effective. And I know we're used to coaches yelling and screaming and motivating and all that kind of stuff, but that doesn't fly in 2020. You got to motivate guys and gals different ways. And I think for me, from the way that I view it, it has to be positive reinforcement. Say, guys, you're not that far away. And here's what we're going to do as a manager. You're going to lead off. We're going to lay down a bunt, or we're going to hit and run. We're going to speed some things up a little bit. We're going to have you swipe second base. We're going to try to do some different things to try to manufacture some runs. Instead of relying on the three-run homer, we're going to have to rely on stealing bases, getting bunts, and getting singles to try to score some runs here. But we're going to break out of this thing, guys. And once we do, man, there's going to be a lot of teams that don't want to face us.
And then continue to get the pitching you're getting.
Yeah, and continue to get the pitching. Right. Like the pitching right now, if I'm Matheny, yeah, I'm good with that, man. These guys have been fantastic.
I'm absolutely fine with the starts you've been getting.
Yeah.
You know, Brady Singer, I felt like learning experience two nights ago.
Sure. Right?
Giving up the four runs, but it was still four runs.
Four
you're
runs.
Like, okay,
so
it's not your
big deal.
Best outing, but you can deal with it. Certainly can deal with six innings, two runs last night from Bubich.
Right.
Duffy, Pryor, absolutely fine. So you're getting the starting pitching you need. For the most part, you're getting your bullpen.
Uh-huh.
Certainly good enough that you're, if in a game late, I feel confident that you can close out a game.
Yeah.
On the mound.
I mean,
so.
even if you take Kennedy and Rosenthal and Holland out of the mix, Barlow, Zuber, and Stamont 7, 8, and 9. I mean, that's a nice little combination that you got working there.
So it's about the offense.
Yeah, it like, is. It's
keep
all
pitching
about
how
the
you're
offense.
Pitching and get some work done offensively. Just one walk drawn last night again too.
Right.
It doesn't look like a team that's going to be able to draw a lot of walks, but draw some walks, steal some bases, mm-hmm. try to find a way to kind of jumpstart your offense some way, somehow. And it can't be sunk 2 weeks
in. No, you really can't. And the other thing too is, you know, you got runners in scoring position. You were 1-for-6 last night. The Chicago Cubs were 4-for-9 with runners in scoring position. And so when you get guys on second base, when you get guys on third base, you got to find a way to drive them in and bring them around and put up some runs, because I don't want to say you're wasting the pitching, because I think right now the pitching and hitting for where we are in this internship type of season, if you can get really good pitching and they continue to impress and continue to do their thing, that's a good thing. But eventually, like next year, you don't want to start wasting this pitching and having these guys go out there and go six innings, give up a run, strike out six, walk nobody, and then lose the game 2-1 because you couldn't get any offensive production going.
Brad Keller on the mound tonight makes his first start of 2020 and is eager to get back.
So at the point where I'm super eager just to join back with the team, be back out there competing again. You know, it's tough watching from home and seeing them go out there and compete and just not being able to, you know, be there with everyone, cheer them on, even, you know, feel the vibes in the clubhouse and stuff. So, you know, I'm just eager to get back out there and compete.
So Keller on the mound tonight against Tyler Chatwood, 6:07 first pitch tonight on 610 Sports Radio, a little earlier start tonight at the K. And Josh Verner has your pregame tonight at 5. We will talk to Mike Matheny coming up at 9 o'clock. The Royals manager will join us then. Well, if you know a player involved in the play of the game Vern gave you last night on the post game show, 913-576-7610 for a chance to win Topper's Pizza next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
All right, it's time to give away some free pizza here on 610 Sports Radio. It's the Mazarese Jewelry Play of the Game. Just listen to Vern's postgame to find out what the play of the game is and then be the sixth caller at 7:45 the next morning and know a player involved in the play of the game for your chance to win Topper's Pizza and to be qualified to win a $500 gift card from Mazarese Jewelry.
Jamie in Olathe is today's contestant. Jamie, can you tell us a player involved in last night's play of the game?
Yes, Chris Bubich.
Let's find out. Probably pretty good guess.
Pretty good guess.
He deals.
And it's in there. Strike three called at 97 miles an hour. How about that? A beautiful seed on the inside corner. And Bubich with a couple of strikeouts in the first inning.
That's right. Two strikeouts in the first, a 1-2-3 first. And, yeah, Chris, the play of the game came early.
Yeah, it really
the first,
did.
In the first inning. Vern texted me very early. Said, I think key play is going to come Bubich first inning. So, yeah. Good job. Jamie and Olathe wins Topper's Pizza. Be listening to Vern's post-game show as he tells you the play of the game. Next day at 7:45, tell us a player involved in the play of the game for your chance to win. So indeed, Chris Bubich, six innings, two runs, four hits, six strikeouts in the Royals loss. He took the L last night as the Royals have dropped a six straight as they finish off their series with the Cubs today. College football is certainly being put to the test like no other. There's too many teams. I think we've said this before. There's like too many teams. There's no way to keep track of it all. Leagues are going to try to get through this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
The Power Fives are kind of pushing forward, certainly with their schedules. But at other levels, we're seeing some signs of trouble. We had the report out of Colorado State.
Yep.
That if they have an investigation underway, so we'll see what comes of it. But players are reportedly said they were being told not to discuss any COVID symptoms with the trainer.
Correct.
That they were trying to cover up any potential outbreak and you know, focus on football.
Right.
There's another player, a kicker from Eastern Kentucky University that has now quit the team. His name is Landon White. Quit the team saying that the school there didn't care enough about player safety. He says the team has continued to practice on days where some players had shown coronavirus symptoms. He said no team tests had occurred in nearly a month, and players have also been in very close contact with one another at dining halls and other meeting rooms, he alleged, and said it didn't feel safe for him, didn't feel like the school was taking safety correctly, and he has since left the team.
Yeah.
Again, a small school, Eastern Kentucky, you know, whatever, it's the kicker, what have you, but I think these questions are probably everywhere as to what schools are doing and what players should feel like is the right thing for their school to be doing.
Well, but therein lies the problem, though, Josh. You mentioned the term small school. We saw yesterday the SEC has announced that they're going to be testing their players three times a week. What was it, like Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday or something like that? They're going to be testing all of their players three times per week. And I am sure it's not just the SEC that's going to do something like that. I'm sure the other Power Fives are going to have a very, very, very strict testing plan in place, but we're at a point right now where we don't have the $2 and $3 saliva tests that are out there right now for everybody to have available. It's not cheap, right? It is very costly to do these tests, and this is where I feel like, you know, as much as we say the NCAA doesn't do anything, and I totally agree with that, this is where they kind of need to intervene and say, okay, if you are going to have fall sports this year as a university, then you have to be able to utilize this kind of testing procedure and make this kind of testing procedure work. And if it's something that isn't affordable for your university, then I hate to say this, but you're not going to be able to compete in the sports until you're able to find a way to get the testing in place that is necessary. That's the only reason we're allowed Major League Baseball and the NFL and basketball and hockey, because they have the money and the funds available to go out there and constantly test their players to make sure everybody's healthy.
And I know this is a question amongst the Power Fives. It was, I think, Gene Taylor, K-State, had mentioned that with down at KMAN on a radio show there that we had played that cut from him, kind of saying the if a smaller, quote unquote, smaller school team was going to come in, they had to decide whether or not, like, who is paying for the testing? Would they be paying for the testing coming in? Did they have proper testing for them to be comfortable in bringing a team into Manhattan? All those considerations, because it's going to be very costly to have a season this upcoming year, and I think for some, especially at lower levels where the money's really, really tight, they may not be able to do what the big boys are doing.
Right. And I hate to see the term that, you know, the kicker of all people quits because, quote, coach and some staff do not care about player safety. Is it that they don't care about player safety or they don't have the means to really, you know, invest in player safety like a lot of the other schools do? I would imagine Eastern Kentucky, which I'm just first hearing about now, I would imagine Eastern Kentucky does not have the same budget as, say, I don't know, Alabama or Kansas or Missouri or Kansas State. I'd imagine their budget is nowhere near the levels that the Power Five schools have right now, whether it's coronavirus testing or
then
whether
they
it's
have
traveling.
To take it even more serious than the ones that do have the testing and make sure you're
social distancing and doing all that kind of stuff.
Sure. And if you're not, I could see every reason like, wow, we're not doing this, this, and this, and we're not testing.
Right. Wow, then maybe we shouldn't be playing, though, is where I'm going with this one. And if you're Eastern Kentucky and you haven't tested players in a month, Josh, I mean, here we are in August. You haven't tested since around the 4th of July. And it is
Which
Kentucky. It is the South. That's one of the states.
They probably showed up.
Yeah, right? So it's probably time to shut down that program if they can't afford to test properly to make sure that everybody is healthy in that program. And that's the way it has to be. And that's why, you know, when I look at sports, and people are like, why are they operating right now? Well, they're operating because they're able to test their athletes. They're able to test their personnel to make sure that they're not spreading coronavirus. I think sports is doing a lot to keep the coronavirus down, obviously, by testing everybody and making sure that everybody kind of remains in that bubble. As much as we say baseball is in a bubble, they kind of, beginning today, they're kind of in a bubble in Major League Baseball right now. And so they're trying their best to keep the spread of coronavirus down and not spread it to others. And if you're a university, you've got kids that are attending parties, which we'll get to in a minute. They're spreading it amongst themselves. Like, I think right now, the more I think about it, man, these universities, unless you're testing 3 times a week or whatever the case may be that the Power Fives are going to do, you shouldn't be allowed to do the sports this year because you're not properly equipped to deal with the issues that we have facing us today. And Josh, the other thing with this too is like you've got all these kids going out, still being kids, going to house parties. Like I just have a feeling like the college campuses this year could potentially be these hotbeds for coronavirus. And if you're not testing and you're allowing your athletes to go out there and then play a game against a school from another state and you're spreading it, we're never going to end this thing.
Then there's Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
29 people from 4 different teams have tested positive for COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
The school says the primary source of the positive tests were traced to an off-campus party.
Mm-hmm.
Again, how are you going to put that to a stop? Might have a hard time with the professional sports doing this, let alone the colleges.
Right.
Doing this and individual colleges doing it. Now we've seen schools all over the country pause at least for a certain amount of time because of outbreaks. And this one, they're saying trace to it. This is the school saying it, not, you know, TMZ was in the bushes and saw the, track star from Louisville jump out and they go,
right.
The school's basically, yeah, this got traced to an off-campus party.
Well, they're not the only one. Rutgers has had the same incident. I mean, we're seeing the outbreak at Rutgers right now because of the off-campus party that's taking place. But, you know, I've got a simple solution to this. Going forward, any COVID outbreaks linked to parties on or off campus force your sport to shut down. Done. Plain and simple. Enough with the messing around and hemming and hawing. You've got to lay down the law. Look at what Major League Baseball just did. They legitimately just laid down the law. They've hired practically babysitters now for every team to make sure that everybody is staying in the hotel and you're not allowed to talk to your fellow teammates when you're eating and seating charts are being made up for planes and buses and everything in between to stop the spread of this coronavirus. If you're on a college campus right now and you're an athlete and you're on scholarship, even if you're not on scholarship and you're on that team, if you're going to an on-campus or an off-campus party and coronavirus spreads, your sport gets shut down. No questions asked. You got to follow the rules. And not only will your sport get shut down, you're going to lose the eligibility that you had that year too. I think we need to make strict punishments. If these universities truly want to play football this fall, which is, it sure as hell seems like they're pushing forward and they're doing that, then you have to have strict rules in place. And if you don't like the strict rules that are in place, then don't play that sport. I'm tired of sitting here going, well, the boys will be boys and they're going to go out and do their thing. Then boys can be boys, but they can't be boys and play on the football team or the basketball team or the soccer team or the baseball team, because we've got to keep everybody healthy, because it's not just about our team. We're traveling to other states. We're traveling to other parts of the country. And if we've got jackasses going out and carousing on campus on a Thursday night and making out and getting coronavirus and then playing a game two states away the next day and spreading the coronavirus to another team and another set of folks, that's going to continue this virus in the United States. So as far as I'm concerned, if you're a college athlete and you're going to a party and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, I'm shutting down the sport. Your scholarships are done. Your eligibility is done. And we'll see you next year. And you have to be strict with it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to enforce the rules.
Bob mentioned baseball. They have tweaked their plan. I'm calling it babysitting. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.